1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic BBC Media
News,
app.
I'm Lionel Moyes. North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un is in Russia and met with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Images showing the two leaders greeting. This comes as South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff says the military detected two short-range ballistic missiles fired from North Korea. Japan's Ministry of Defense also reported it. The U.S. is also warning North Korea there will be consequences if it makes an arms deal with Russia.
The United States and other allies already have crippling sanctions on Russia and North Korea. Pentagon warning of more to come if Kim Jong-un provides weapons to President Putin.
We would call on North Korea to meet its previous stated public commitments not to supply weapons to Russia.
Pentagon spokesman Brigadier General Patrick Ryder saying the U.S. military is watching North Korea's next move. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
The CDC is recommending all Americans over 6 months old get updated COVID boosters. New shots are expected to be available at pharmacies this week. This is ABC News. A new study finds high blood pressure is linked to dementia in older adults, but treatment appears to offset that risk. A separate study found that more time spent doing sedentary behavior may be linked to dementia in adults 60 and older. They found that cases of dementia increase after approximately 10 hours of sedentary activity per day and a threefold increase after 15 hours. More tech companies have signed on to a pledge spearheaded by the White House that aims to prevent any possible negative impacts of artificial intelligence.
The White House and this administration are trying to balance the potential upside of AI with the very real risk and emerging threats here, announcing this morning that 8 additional companies have now signed on, agreeing to new safety and security safeguards, including some big names like Adobe, IBM, and Salesforce. This now brings the total to 15 companies that are agreeing to this, pledging to try and manage the potential risks of AI while also competing to try and harness its real potential.
Lionel Moyes, ABC News.
Spin the globe and pick where you would go this summer at Ho-Chunk Gaming-Nakusa. We'll be giving away a vacation of your dreams with our Vacation Your Way promotion. Throughout the month of September, you can earn entries for your chance to be one of 10 lucky winners on September 30th, with one grand prize winner receiving a travel certificate for anywhere your heart desires. Only at Ho-Chunk Gaming-Nakusa, your place to play. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming-Nakusa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
Show the world that age is just a number. Ho-Chunk Gaming-Nakusa presents the golden days for those who are 50 and wiser. Turn up your excitement, because each Tuesday from July to December, you can earn 25 same-day slot points and $10 rewards play. Redeem up to 4 times. The golden days await at Ho-Chunk Gaming-Nakusa, where the only thing more exciting than your luck is the fun you'll have. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming-Nakusa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
All of these things consistently come down to this: willingness of people to give up their agency and the willingness of Donald Trump and those who support him to leverage and abuse people's trust in them to further their own personal power and enrichment.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
100 degrees.
Ramaswamy literally said global climate change, human and affected climate change, is a hoax.
Ron DeSantis effectively pivoted on the debate stage, said, I'm not going to answer your damn question because it will expose us as climate change denialists, which puts them in a minority, certainly with younger voters. Young people care about the future of this world, though.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fritos, Cheetos, Doritos. We should expect that stuff to be safe. Why does it make sense that corporations can poison the American people and we don't even know about it? Politically, there is a group who chooses to make sure that there are not enough dollars put into the Food and Drug Administration to check on these types of things.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Unrelentlessly positive.
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever.
It indicates. Indicative?
Hey, can we focus?
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin, and hello, Jane Matinere.
Hello, my friend.
I was so looking forward to seeing you in person today and giving you a big hug because I've missed you so much.
Oh, thank you. I missed you.
And then lo and behold, last night you shot me a text saying, well, we're ripping up the studio, so you probably should do the show from home. So I have not gotten to embrace. You look very tan, though. I can see you on the live stream, and you look like you got some color.
We did. We got some sun. It was not terribly warm, which made me happy, actually.
Okay.
It wasn't 90. You know, it was like mid-70s and partly cloudy, but in that kind of climate, you still, we did a lot of walking. We were outside all the time, so I wore 50 SPF, just in case anybody's wondering, so don't yell at me.
Do you have a big floppy hat that you wear as well?
I did not take a big floppy hat. I could have bought many of them.
Many. Well, I have to say, I'm so happy that you had a vacation. You were missed terribly. Greg did a great job.
That's what I've heard. I knew he would.
But that doesn't mean that I didn't miss you a lot. And there was like, it was so funny because there's certain topics that I feel like I had to save until you got back, including. Did you know, because I know how big of a fan you are of The Bachelor, The Golden Bachelor is starting, and they did indeed, the lowest age of any of the women is 60.
Oh, yeah.
So it's higher than you thought it was going to be. You said it was going to be like 45-year-old. I was like, I'm going to wait until she's back to broach this topic.
Okay, I still think that they are not going to grab their average 60-year-old woman.
Well,
I mean, you've
well,
seen
he's not the average 60-year-old, 70-year-old man. Have you seen him?
Yes, and that's the whole point. It's they're still going to be the most beautiful of the 60-year-old people.
It's television,
and I know.
But speaking of which, can I tease you a little bit?
Sure.
So I listened. I obviously was gone yesterday. Thank you, Joseph Pecky, for covering. But I did. I got to listen to the whole show. He did a great job.
Yeah,
he did.
Did
a great job. And I. You guys also started catching up with you and your trip. And while you were out, one of the things Greg and I joked about was how much this trip might reinvent you and you may come back not cynical. And so the fact that you were like, you gave about 2 seconds to how good the trip was, and then you just immediately started complaining about the airplane. I was like, nope, she's still the same person.
Pretty much. That's really funny. Although I will say, Kristen, that the airplane stuff aside, every time I travel, I feel better about humans. Which
interesting. Say more about that.
Yeah, which you wouldn't think would necessarily happen, but Every time we travel, I am just reminded of how much we are similar. Mm. We want the same things. We want a place to live. We like good food. We like to laugh. We like, and so that always makes me feel better. Because even with some of the staff that worked at our resort, and I told Louisa the night before we left, and I got all emotional, and I said, we would be friends. I know we would be friends. Because it's just those kinds of connections, and I think that's what is so important about traveling.
I totally agree.
You know?
I think, well, it's the little things that we talk about of the importance of not replacing every checkout with a computer. Because of the small talk you can make with your community and your neighbors when you're picking up groceries, or all the little things of when you actually put yourself out there to have in-person conversations. And certainly it's underlined when you're traveling, because it's like you're in a new place, you're experiencing new things, it's a different culture, and yet it's all the same.
Yeah.
And so I totally agree with you on that. And so happy that you're happy to be home.
I am. It's always good to be home. And sleep in your own bed, and I'm very particular about my pillow, so it's always easier to sleep in your own bed.
All right, well, I can't wait to embrace you. Hopefully the studio will be on tomorrow, so I'll be back in studio tomorrow, but we have a very fun, packed show today. It's Tuesday, so Dan Schaefer is going to be here at the bottom of the 10 o'clock hour. He'll be here at 10:30, and we're going to talk impeachment, because I feel like we're going to talk about this every single day because it's that important. But also any updates on Megan Wolf and whether or not, I feel like these are two similar stories as the complexity of, can they do that? Because it seems like they can't. And yet they do.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to Dan at 10:30. And then in the next hour, this weekend, the Willie Street Fair is this weekend.
That's a big deal. It's a really big deal.
It's Madison's longest running neighborhood gathering. And so Colleen Hayes is going to be here to talk about that. We're also going to be talking to Sandy Peters, who is a Waukesha woman who is organizing a walk run for this weekend that is going to be raising funds for Dig Deep, which is about providing water and like filling the water gap to places where they don't have access to clean drinkable water, which we take for granted.
And this is in America.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. This is happening in America. People don't have access to clean drinkable water.
Well, and I think it's such a poignant timing that they're doing this fundraiser in this walk and this fundraiser in Waukesha this weekend, because I think it's within the last 5 days, the Waukesha pipeline turned on. And about 2 weeks ago, end of August, last week of August, we had Dan Dukniak on, who we talked about this project and how long it's been running and stuff. And the truth of the matter is, the city of Waukesha residents, the cost of their water is going to go up. But he kind of ended it. It was like the access, being able to afford and have access to clean water, and how many millions of people don't even have that. And so I feel like it's maybe a good reminder for the community that there's a lot of people who don't
for sure
have enough water, as we let our shower run until it heats up and all of the things that we take for granted when it comes to clean drinkable water. But where I want to start is the wild. Do you feel guilty? This is my question. Do you feel guilty about what happened to Aaron Rodgers last week? And I'm not laughing. I'm laughing out of it's so uncomfortable, because I think we talked about it a month or so ago. We're like, should we stop talking about Aaron Rodgers? And people called in about their feelings about him. And I think most Packers fans have very mixed feelings about Aaron Rodgers and him leaving the Packers in the way that he did, him joining the Jets, him taking a pay cut, the Hard Knocks thing. Even his interview with John McEnroe that kicked off the game last night, you know, he kind of referenced being a massive fish in a tiny little goldfish bowl in as the difference of living in Green Bay. And he sounded, you know, fine, because he's the best I've ever done.
We're losing you a little bit there. You're a little sticky.
A little sticky. Better now?
Better now.
Okay. And so even up until literally the moment of his first snap, there was feelings of like, oh God, you're still sounding so arrogant. And so people have feelings. And yet I don't think anyone had the feeling of, oh, I hope you get potentially a career ending, if not a season ending, if not a career ending injury on your fourth snap of the season. So my question is, are you feeling any Catholic guilt this morning about Aaron Rodgers? 844-967-2789. Because I certainly woke up to one text from one specific person, I think, feeling a little guilty about that because they had hoped that he didn't have a bad season, that he wouldn't have a good season, but maybe that, but not this. So
I would like to think that most people, even if they don't like Aaron Rodgers and how bad the breakup was, that, as you said, nobody would wish a career-ending injury on him.
No, and I don't think they would, but it's I don't know if the word is irony. I don't know. Like, it's to have so much hype. Like, I don't know. This feels unprecedented as far as, you know, having the Hard Knocks season start with, be focused on the Jets. There's so much hype around Aaron Rodgers being Super Bowl contenders, everything that was going to happen with him and the Jets this year, just the Jets in general putting all of their eggs in this basket for Aaron Rodgers. And for him to literally have one attempt and basically, yeah, it was one attempt. It was four snaps, one throw, and he goes down. And it's like, you can't, that's a movie. That's like, if you wrote that in a movie, they said that's too on the nose. You can't do that.
Yeah. That would never happen in life. Right.
And so my question is, do you feel guilty about Aaron Rodgers? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY on the Facebook live stream, which you are always welcome to join and watch us along with listen to us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, which you can find at As Goes Wisconsin. Joe McClear says, none of the vaccinated quarterbacks tore their Achilles this past weekend. Checkmate, anti-vaxxers.
Joe, bringing it in on Tuesday.
And I know Joe's not even a Packers fan. He's a Lions fan. So he's saying that with an extra oomph. gosh. But I certainly feel bad. I didn't want him to win the Super Bowl. I was with my family over the weekend and my brother actually was like, I hope they win the Super Bowl. I was like, that's a weird thing to say. And his reasoning was, I think it's kind of the fact that the Jets have always been bad and maybe they've earned this one and he's earned this one.
Well, from what I've read, the Jets defensive line was always in question and
offensive line is terrible.
And that's what made this sack possible.
Well, it's that, but then we'll also, good Aaron Rodgers, very good friend, Bakhtiari, tweeted last night. So we'll read that tweet when we get back on what he has to blame for this, because he's blaming the NFL. So we will talk about that. We'll take your calls if you're feeling guilty about Aaron Rodgers this morning. And we'll also give you an update on Jack's American Pub and how that turned out for the bar. 844-967-2789. We'll be back after the break.
Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was a thing for about five
like a
minutes.
Week. Whoever was excited, then they moved on.
Well, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
Hey, Mike, of all the people that your wife knew in Two Rivers, did any of them have a Shetland pony?
Mike, you're a new listener. John, for some reason,
the only person in the history of Two Rivers that had a Shetland pony when he was a kid.
Star. He was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
He was great. I'd come home from school, ride him. He's a great horse. And his Shetland pony, it was great.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's joking how everybody's joking now.
The Vec.
Ramaswamy.
Cease and desist. Who would be worse? Mike Pence. I mean, Ron DeSantis trying to rap also would be wildly cringy.
Ron DeSantis trying to feel feelings is weird enough. I couldn't imagine rapping.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast skies overnight with a low of 47. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow, high of 64. Mainly clear tomorrow night, lows around 45. Upper 60s Thursday, turning warmer on Friday with highs in the mid 70s. Another look at the short range, lows level off around 47 overnight. We should top out at 64 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 52.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
And you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I let you love what I thought it was funny. You came along and
woo. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Jane Mettner is back. The tag team duo is back on the air together.
Yes.
Just not in the studio together today, but that's okay. I'm just sad because after today, we only have 8 more shows together. And that's if the baby doesn't come early.
She's not coming early.
She's not coming early. She can't come early because Mike's still recovering from his back surgery.
Exactly.
So we've already decided, baby, you got to stay put for as long as possible.
Just sit tight for, I don't know, 2 weeks yet. It'll all be good.
Well, we are talking about, I think, one of the most unbelievable stories. I don't know what else we could have started today with, but talking about Aaron Rodgers and being out after 4 snaps. And if you, as a Packers fan, who maybe wish that he didn't have a great season, feel guilt at all? 844-967-2789, because at the commercial break, I checked, and it sounds like 18 minutes ago, they did announce that, in fact, his Achilles is torn, and the MRI has confirmed it, and he is out for the season after 4 snaps.
Wow. Nobody could have predicted this or seen this coming. And not that it requires an especially violent hit, but the one didn't look that terrible.
I think everyone saw the hit. They were like, what even happened? And so this is the thing that I didn't realize. I think I've heard here and there that this is a point of contention for players in the NFL, but it comes down to AstroTurf or artificial turf. So David Bakhtiari tweeted this last night, and obviously those two are very good friends, even though, you know, Bakhtiari is still a Packer. But he's been dealing with an injury for 2 years plus.
Right.
So he tweeted out last night, congrats at NFL. How many more players have to get hurt on artificial turf? You care more about soccer players than us. You plan to remove all artificial turf for the World Cup coming up, so clearly it's feasible. I'm sick of this. Do better. So he makes it sound like, you know, because the hit looked like a normal hit.
It did.
But that the way they slip or whatever it is specifically about artificial turf that leads to torn Achilles, torn ACLs, and some of the injuries that we've seen sideline these guys for entire seasons. And I don't know enough about the science of that to know if that is one of the reasons why this is changing more. But it also is, that's an interesting point that he makes, that if they're actually they're willing to change it out to put real grass in for the World Cup and for those games, but then for the NFL, they wouldn't, especially when you think about the investment that the NFL and these teams have in their players and all the other rules that they change to protect players and their longevity. Because they're worth them a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. 844-967-2789-844-96-PARTY. You can call and or text, do you feel guilty about Aaron Rodgers? Texter from Waukesha, I wanted him to go to Dallas and beat them next week.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
From the 715, Rodgers lasted 1 minute and 36 seconds. Now we know why Danica, Olivia, and Shailene were so disappointed. Youch.
That is a zinger.
That's,
That is a zinger
that is a zinger.
Tuesday morning. Well, I got a text from the first thing I got this morning at 6:30 a.m. from my mother. Shout out Deb Bry. Because we were all, you know, they were home and everyone watched the game last night, was good morning. Not a good morning for Aaron Rodgers. I have to say, I hoped he would not do well at NYC, but certainly never wanted something like this to happen. And that was kind of where I started. I was like, yeah, I was not necessarily rooting for him, but not this.
Not this, for sure.
And especially because, you know, this was actually the most compassionate response I've seen so far is from Maggie Loney, who came on the show last year. I don't remember. I think she was the only woman Packer pundit we had on last year. So she is she's the podcaster for Pack a Day podcast and Cheesehead TV, and she's great. But she tweeted this out, which I think is for sure the most compassionate. She said, Aaron Rodgers is the reason so many football fans fell in love with the sport. First ballot Hall of Famer, four-time MVP. He's one of the best to ever do it, and a huge reason I have so many incredible football memories. I truly hope that wasn't the last time I see him play football. And then she followed up with, like, I'm just sad, man. And I think that's true. I mean, that was kind of the similar feeling of his the end of the last season, right? We're like, whoa, was this the last time we saw him as a Packer? And that feeling of, like, oh, could this be the last time we saw him play? Was that... that play? Really?
Well, and I think, too, I think people, if you didn't want him to do well, at least you wanted to see him lose fairly, right?
Fairly, yes. And certainly, and we're going to get to this because we don't have time to touch on it now, but certainly Jack's American Pub, which when you were out of town for all the hubbub around this, but Jack's American Pub on Brady Street in Milwaukee had... that was the first night of their big special, their big promo about that was a little petty, but it was about Aaron Rodgers and it was about him playing and then paying your bar tab. And that I think is a super interesting story, but we're going to have to table it because, when we come back, Dan Schaefer is going to be here and we're going to recombobulate on some of the, top issues happening in Madison, happening in Milwaukee, happening across Wisconsin. But we'll start the 11 o'clock hour with the disappointed fans who really thought they were going to get their bar tab paid for last night. But because of, you know, how the game ended up going last night, they did not. But there was national press there covering what was going to happen. And so that is another interesting story. But if you have more feelings on whether or not you're feeling guilty this morning about Aaron Rodgers getting hurt, or do you also feel like how the 715 texter felt that there's some more zingers in there for you? We would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. And also, if you have any questions for Dan Schaefer, coming up, 844-96-PARTY. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back after this.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moise. In Pennsylvania, the manhunt for Danilo Cavalcante continues after the convicted murderer broke out of a prison days ago. Police say he is armed with a rifle.
Police say he stole that rifle from the garage of a home near East Natmeal Township, encountering a homeowner face-to-face.
I believe it was a crime of opportunity. I think he went in there probably trying to hide. The garage door was open. He didn't, I believe, recognized that the owner was in there.
That homeowner drawing a pistol and firing multiple shots, but Cavalcante got away unscathed, his sweatshirt and t-shirt found near the driveway.
ABC's Trevor Ault. The CDC is recommending new COVID booster shots for Americans 6 months and older. This is cases and hospitalizations rise. The shots are expected to be available later this week, and the CDC says it's safe to get the COVID and flu shots at the same time. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is launching an impeachment inquiry into President Biden over his family's business dealings. This is ABC News.
Mino and the Mayor.
What do you think of this team, Brady, with the new quarterback?
It's such a wild card because you go all the way back to Aaron Rodgers. What's been cool about my football experience is I've seen this. Aaron was a good player. Nobody ever expected him to become a first ballot Hall of Famer, especially under the circumstances of having to replace a Hall of Famer, which is rare.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app. You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold. 1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown. Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
A delicious Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Jay Matner is back on the board. And Dan Schaefer, it's Tuesday at 10:30, so we are recombobulating with the one and only. How are you, friend?
We are recombobulating. What a day. What a day in Wisconsin to be discombobulated.
What makes you say that? What is your top things in your head right now that you're like, geez?
Well, obviously, you know, you were talking about it before the break, the Aaron Rodgers turn of events. It's just unbelievable what happened. And just, you know, first series after all the hype, running out with the American flag with the 9/11 tribute and all that, and season's over, 4 plays into it. It's just unbelievable. I mean, I've had my issues with Rodgers over the years, but I can't help but feel for the guy and feel for the whole situation. It's just awful.
It really is. I mean, I think that's why I was kind of like, do you feel guilty? Because I think there were so many jokes and stuff kind of leading up to it of, and like, you know, the like, I hope you don't win this year, but not this. And so that story is crazy. Obviously, we have our own political shenanigans happening in our state. I think I checked Twitter during the break, and McCarthy's talking about impeaching Biden. Like, there's never a lack of things to talk about, is there, Dan?
No, never a lack of things to talk about. Always a need to recombobulate, that's for sure.
Whew. All right, so I guess let's start. I mean, I think this is kind of just going until this dies, hope and knock on wood that it does die. I feel like we're going to touch on this probably almost every day on the show. I know most other shows are talking about it just because it is that undemocratic, let's say, but is the ongoing will they or won't they with impeaching Justice Janet Protasiewicz before she has heard a single case. And you recently wrote about this basically from the angle of, I think this was the title. It's outrageous and undemocratic. It's also completely predictable. And so let's talk a little bit more about why you say we should have all just seen this coming.
Yeah, I mean, for one, you know, Dan Knoedl's now state senator more or less campaigned on this he was on the same ballot in the April election that Protasiewicz was. But in addition to that, you know, you look back to what Robin Voss and Wisconsin Republicans have been doing for the last, I don't know, 5 years at least, is that they have gone out of their way to undermine and invalidate and overturn election results over the years. And that has included, you know, after the 2018 election where Tony Evers beat Scott Walker, moving to strip powers from the governor's office, after the 2020 election, after Joe Biden defeated Donald Trump, immediately launching investigations into the validity of everything, the Gableman mess, all of that. So this is really, you know, about what we've come to expect from mm-hmm. Robin Voss and legislative Republicans who don't seem to be able to have a good answer, or, you know, they're not listening to the will of the people, the voices of the people that are made heard through these votes. Protasiewicz obviously won with a landslide victory in April, and I think people wanted to see change. Mm-hmm. And Robin Voss is, you know, of all issues for him to cling to power in any way that he can, it is obviously going to be through the maps. You know, these maps give him the power to, you know, basically run the state legislature without having to, you know, kind of protect key seats and things like that. They have their ridiculous gerrymandered majorities, and that gives them the option to do things like launch ridiculous impeachment investigations into Janet Protasiewicz. And I think this is, you know, just such a ridiculous move. It's undemocratic. It's outrageous. But like I said, it's nothing that it is completely predictable. It's completely in line with everything that we've been seeing from these Wisconsin Republicans over the years, especially under the leadership of Robin Voss.
And so, there's potential that the campaign that the Wisconsin Democrats have launched, along with, I mean, I think there's plenty of just Democratic groups that are Democratic with a small D, who are like full court press on this because it is that much of a constitutional crisis. And so if you have not, I'm not sure we've talked about the website on this show yet, but defendjustice.com, you can go there and you can see literally everyone in the assembly, everyone in the state Senate, and where they stand right now, at least what they've said publicly on impeaching or not impeaching. You can look up your address so you can easily find who your reps are. And then you can easily call them and let them know how you feel about which way they would vote on this topic. So they make it super easy for you. But it sounds like there are rumblings that this amount of pressure could be working. And that while Robin Voss certainly, like we said, these gerrymandered maps are what keeps Robin Voss as our shadow governor, right? As Politico called him, what was that, 2 years ago? Mm-hmm. Because it's not only that he is in a safe seat. He has that many people who are in a safe seat who he knows they have to be more loyal to him and the party than their constituents, so he can get them to do whatever he wants. And mm-hmm. so this is very personal, it seems like, for Robin Voss. And why he specifically is so against giving up any of his power.
Yeah, and I've written on a number of occasions that these gerrymandered maps are Robin Voss's skeleton key to holding on to power in the state of Wisconsin, no matter how many statewide elections that Republicans lose. You know, they've lost, Republicans and Republican-backed candidates have lost 14 of the last 17 statewide elections, but Republicans still enjoy huge, huge majorities in the state legislature, and they have continued to consolidate power within the state legislature during Robin Voss's tenure. So it's just an outsized power and influence in that body, and it is a way for no one really to ever, you know, it's easier for Republicans to get a supermajority than it is for Democrats to get a simple majority here in this 50-50 swing state. So, you know, it is really ridiculous. And I think, you know, it is just goes to show how important these maps are to Robin Voss and that he will go to any length possible to protect them.
Dan, I had a question, and we had Representative Evan Goyke on yesterday when Joseph Pecky was here. Because Justice Janet's victory was so large and so overwhelming, is it a fair assumption that a fair amount of Republicans voted for her, and therefore I would think this would also really tick them off?
Yeah, I think you had a lot of, you know, obviously Democrats, but Dem-leaning independents, you know, that those, like you said, people on the right who might want change in the state of Wisconsin want to see some checks and balances come to Robin Voss and the Wisconsin state legislature. And I think it is really important, like you mentioned, Kristen, the Defend Justice effort, highlighting not just what Voss is saying, because obviously you're going to interview the assembly speaker and see what he has to say. But this is something that every member of the Wisconsin state legislature would have to vote on. And I think it is really important to hold every last member accountable. And so I think you're seeing a little bit from, you know, there was a statement from State Representative Scott Johnson, who represents, I believe, an area in Jefferson County, said last week that he would not be, so he's a Republican, and he said he's not supporting the impeachment effort. He said something along the lines of, you know, I didn't vote for Janet Protasiewicz, but she won. That's the results of the election. We have to move on. And I wonder if we're going to see more of that. And I think particularly in the state Senate, where they need every last vote to be able to impeach, you know, you get one Republican state senator who goes on the record to say, I'm not on board with this. You know, that could really derail the effort as it is. And I think, you know, Defend Justice eyed Appleton area state senator Rachel Cabral-Guevara as a potential swing vote here, as somebody who's leaning against impeachment. I wonder if we're going to see a few more of those, some especially from people like her who are in some swingier districts like in the Fox Valley or Western Wisconsin or suburban Milwaukee, where you have, you know, some of the more crossover votes that are coming through. And I think, you know, this is going to be something that people remember. This is going to be, you know, I write a preview of all 100 and however many races are on the ballot in Wisconsin state legislature. I think this issue is going to be something that people remember when it comes to state legislature. It's going to be something that people are going to know, want to know where their legislators stand on this as well.
I also just saw at the very top, Amy Binsfield from Assembly District 27th is leaning against removal as well. And so she's also a Republican. And so I think, put the pressure on. Like, if you voted and you don't want your vote erased, let your representative know that you are watching this. And I do think that if there's enough pressure and there's enough Republicans who are like, I can't peg my legacy to this. And it's just the fact that Robin Voss would peg his legacy to this. That is just, what is the calculus there as far as...
It's just power consolidation at all costs. That is just the guiding principle of Robin Voss, that consolidate power at all costs, and a Democrat is not allowed to govern, even if they win. You know, Democrats should not be allowed to govern in Wisconsin. That's probably Robin Voss. He has like maybe a poster of that above his desk.
Put that on his tombstone.
Not allowed to govern. Yeah.
And what kind of retribution can the Popcorn King dish out if some assembly members do decide not to vote for impeachment?
I mean, he could, you know, remove people off of committees or things like that. But I think, you know, didn't see any retaliation to Scott Johnson when he put that very public statement out last week. So I think that was pretty interesting. And, you know, I think the pressure is going to be on Voss with this one, you know, to to see where things stand. And I think he's playing with fire a little bit too, because I think this could backfire. You know, if the redistricting case ultimately goes forward in the way that the litigants want it to, that means every member of the Wisconsin State Assembly and every member of the Wisconsin State Senate will be on the ballot next fall in 2024 if they do get new maps in time. So I think, you know, Robin Voss is going to try anything he can, anything that is legally possible for him to do. They'll gin up any kind of reason that will be used to do this unprecedented action of trying to impeach a Wisconsin Supreme Court judge. So they will do anything they possibly can to keep these maps.
Well, and it still seems murky to me of like the details of how this will proceed. Because I know at one point, if she resigns now and they appoint someone this year, then that would trigger a new election in 2024. But if she waits until next year, then that person gets to do the entire term. There also yesterday was a lawsuit that's asking the state Supreme Court to block Republican lawmakers from seeking to impeach. So like, how much have you been able to keep up on the details of like, can they do this? Is there any mechanism to stop them from doing this legally?
Yeah, there's so many moving parts here, and I'm trying to do my best to learn about it, but
same.
You're right. If she resigns before December 1st, it's a different scenario than if she were to resign or be removed after December 1st. You know, that could kick in an election, either a do-over election basically for next spring, or would have to open up for the next like available spring election slot when there's also not already a Wisconsin Supreme Court justice that'll be on the ballot. That I believe is not until 2031. And then there's all these different mechanisms of legal behind the scenes stuff that I went to school for political science, but I didn't go to law school, so I don't know all of these different
not
things.
I'm a Wisconsin constitutional lawyer over here.
I do think that there is, you know, this is a very, very unprecedented action. And I do think that like the suit trying to block the impeachment, we're going to see that as well. And I think we're seeing some national interest start to turn to this case. I believe Eric Holder wrote a piece about it that was published today. So, I mean, this is going to, the pressure is going to be really dialed up on Robin Voss and Wisconsin Republicans on an issue that, like, I just don't get the sense that, you know, even some of the like never Trump Republican types like Jennifer Rubin or Charlie Sykes or something like that, they've all written columns already, like, you know, mm-hmm. opposition to this effort. So it's not like, you know, it's just like the people like the folks from Wisconsin Institute, Law and Liberty and wherever else that are just doing all these ridiculous gymnastics to try and support this effort, even though they've spoken out against them in the past. So but again, it's just that they know that the maps are the key to everything. So I think it's such a big deal.
Well, in another case of can they do that, we'll talk about Megan Wolf and what's the update there as far as can they just remove her? I don't know, but we'll talk about that when we come back. There's also a little news about the domes. Maybe we'll talk more Packers. We got a lot to try to fit in with the 8 more minutes with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area when we come back. Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Spin the globe and pick where you would go this summer at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa. We'll be giving away a vacation of your dreams with our Vacation Your Way promotion. Throughout the month of September, you can earn entries for your chance to be one of 10 lucky winners on September 30th, with one grand prize winner receiving a travel certificate for anywhere your heart desires. Only at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa, your place to play. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
Show the world that age is just a number. Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa presents the golden days for those who are 50 and wiser. Turn up your excitement, because each Tuesday from July to December, you can earn 25 same-day slot points and $10 rewards play. Redeem up to 4 times. The golden days await at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa, where the only thing more exciting than your luck is the fun you'll have. For complete contest rules, see the Rewards Club booth at Ho-Chunk Gaming and Koosa. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor.
Test your home for radon. Radon causes lung cancer, and half the homes in Green Bay test high. Request a free tester at newradon.com. newradon.com.
Get a free test kit now.
Most of us are not just red or blue. We're kind of purple. We want to do what's right while protecting our individual freedoms.
Join the Rational Revolution with host Chris Elfheim and Emily Cephos Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies, overnight with lows around 47. North winds, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Highs level off around 64, tomorrow partly cloudy. Lows level off around 45, tomorrow night mainly clear skies. Upper 60s, Thursday, turning warmer on Friday with highs in the mid-70s. Once again, lows level off around 47 overnight, high of 64 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 52.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. We got Jane Matinair back on the board and Dan Schaefer here to recombobulate as we typically do on Tuesdays from 10:30 to 11. So we spent the last segment talking about the ongoing, what will happen with the potential impeachment of Janet Protasiewicz. And there is another official that Republicans are trying to get rid of, despite the fact that under the same rules, they had no problem with their guy staying on because he wouldn't leave. But when it comes to the person they're trying to get rid of, they're just going to bulldoze right over that. So yesterday, the Wisconsin Senate Committee cleared the path for Megan Wolf, who is Wisconsin's chief elections administrator, to be fired, despite the fact that when Fred Prehn didn't step down from the DNR board, they were perfectly fine not having forcing a vote to have him step down. So how much have you followed this, Dan? And how much, I mean, this is another thing that's just going to end up in court, right? Because Josh Call, and basically legally, they're saying with what, how the Supreme Court ruled on Fred Prehn, they can't do this.
Yeah. I haven't been following this as much as the impeachment issue, but I've certainly been paying attention to it. You know, it just seems, but I think, you know, we could talk about all the different mechanisms of what they're doing and the you know, staying on the commission that they're appointed to and the hypocrisy of all of it. But I think so much of the, you know, push to fire Megan Wolf as the head of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, it just goes back to the 2020 election conspiracies, right? It's just another, you know, red meat move to the election deniers that make up such a huge part of the Republican Party's base. You know, I know that there were a bunch of, you know, kind of election denier, prominent election deniers that were, you know, put on the stand in the Assembly Committee's hearing or the Senate Committee's hearing talking about this. You know, it's just these people who are just completely off the deep end about the 2020 election. I think, you know, Gableman was there making some other people look sane by comparison, considering who else was on that committee. And I think, again, it's just, it doesn't matter, just the same, not unlike the impeachment push, it doesn't matter what the reason is for wanting to fire her. They're just going to, what the technical reason is for wanting to get rid of her, they're just going to make something up. They're just going to find something. Just the same, you know, a lot of people are saying like, oh, why are you covering impeachment when you has to be a corruption charge? Well, they're just going to invent one, just like they're doing with Megan Wolf. I mean, don't you think it's the same, much the same type of behavior and approach that we're seeing from Wisconsin Republicans?
Totally. Well, it's also, but it's, I still love the two things can be true. Don't forget to bank your vote. And don't forget to vote early this year, you Republicans. But also, but yes, the 2020 election was totally corrupt and because they voted early. And so it's like, okay, I guess the mental gymnastics of Simone Biles is what we're doing today.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And it's just, you know, they're going to keep trying to meddle with the election administration in the state running up to, you know, local elections next year, primaries, everything with 2024. It's just a sign of, you know, it's just the latest of what's happening and a sign of what's to come. It's just like this ridiculous approach to approach to governing where somebody, you know, and I think she has, Wolf has garnered the support of almost all of the other members of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. It's just the one guy who was literally one of the fake electors, Bob Spindell, who's voting, you know, against her. Everybody else on that commission, even those appointed by Republicans, seem to be in favor of the way that she operates. So, you know.
Well, I want to, Jane, you said that we have a good text that we wanted to read.
We do. John from the Falls checking in at 844-967-2789. I think it would be helpful for Dan to remind everyone the powers that were limited by the Republicans when Tony Evers won his election.
Appointment powers is one of the main pieces of it, right? I mean, you know, and that goes to all of the different issues that we've been talking about here, doesn't it?
Yeah. So before we let you go, I want to make sure that we touch on, because you are tracking all of the stuff with the childcare counts compared to what the GOP bills have been. Now, I know last week there were hearings on those GOP-backed bills. It sounded like, at least the coverage I read from those hearings, that there was some consideration of childcare providers were like, yes, this might make things a little bit more flexible, but none of this is getting at the root cause. So what have you heard as far as opposition or support on those bills?
Yeah, it's interesting because we have, you know, all this nonsense with impeachment talks and firing elected administrations. We have some real things that we need to deal with in this state, childcare being one of them. Obviously, the governor called this special session. That'll happen next week. But the Republicans are set to, you know, kind of move some bills through committee last week and could, as soon as Thursday, vote on those bills. And they have not exactly had a warm reception from those in the childcare community. One of the people who testified on those bills, Corrine Hendrickson, she is the co-founder of WeCan, owner and operator of Little Explorers Family Childcare in New Glarus. She said, and I quote, "I am opposing all the assembly bills that purport to solve the childcare crisis. It is clear you are fabricating a reason in order to justify your lack of responsiveness in listening to your constituents who overwhelmingly told you to vote yes for childcare accounts." So these bills, providers have talked about, you know, growing ratios of providers to children, loosening restrictions on various things, including age restrictions on how providers, making it easier for 16-year-olds to provide childcare. And this has been met with a really negative response from a lot of the people in the childcare community. I know one person that was quoted in a CBS 58 story talked about how this will make more people want to quit the profession. Yeah. So if the Republicans' goal is to try to get more people to want to quit the profession, please, by all means, go forward with this ridiculous package of bills and continue to ignore childcare accounts. But I think, you know, these bills are ridiculous. And I think part of what Wisconsin Republicans are doing in the news this week is just try to distract from how unpopular these are in advance of the governor's special session, which has, you know, paid family leave, all these other workforce conditions attached to it. And, you know, all indications that they're going to gavel in and gavel out once again. And so vote on these bills this Thursday. I think it'll be a really contentious final vote for those. Especially with the special session that would be less than a week away.
Well, the special session is a week from tomorrow, so we will talk to you a week from today, preview that, and any votes that come down, any other changing craziness that happens in our state. I'm sure there will be something. But Dan Schaefer, founder, editor of the Recombobulation Area, don't forget to subscribe. Thank you, as always, friend. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for having me.
Get tired of one-sided conversations? Have you changed the station due to mean-spirited rhetoric? Wouldn't it be refreshing to listen and engage in civilized dialogue about politics and how issues affect our families differently? Welcome to the Rational Revolution. I'm Chris Elfheim,
And I'm Emily Sefos. Together, we'll look at today's issues through a politically purple lens. So join us on Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media app.
News.